Welcome to day 31 of the Jesus Reveal podcast. My name is Zinhle Mncube, and I'm so pleased that you are with us today. Today, we are looking at the topic of the last shall be first, and looking at Matthew chapter 20 from verse 1 to 16, which is a wonderful, wonderful parable. And for that, I am joined by Pastor Andrew Sampson again. Pastor Andrew, thank you so much for being here and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So Pastor Andrew, let's go into it because there's much to really unpack, even contextually. And obviously with Jesus then explaining what we're talking about, he explains it through a parable. So Pastor Andrew, if you don't mind, if you can just take us through, I guess, that parable of the vineyard owner and how then it becomes so relevant to what Jesus wants to teach his disciples here.
All right. We're looking at Matthew chapter 20, and it's interesting to note where are we in the actual book of Matthew.
Yeah.
Because Matthew chapter 18, chapter 19, and chapter 20 makes reference to the fifth sermon that Jesus has taught and that has been recorded right here. Mm. So in Matthew 18, he spoke about the reality of sin. In Matthew 19, he spoke about who's part of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And now in Matthew 20, the question is being asked, you know, regarding life in the kingdom. Mm. So we come into this where Jesus now speaks in a parable to his disciples. Now, let me just highlight that parables were used by Jesus for specific reasons, not for the crowds and not for the multitudes, because they didn't understand the message of the parables. The disciples asked, "Why speakest thou unto us in parables?" And Jesus says to them, he says, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." And these mysteries are going to come out as they understood it later in symbols, in pictures, secrets, and mysteries so that they could understand certain things in the kingdom of God that Jesus was communicating to them. But he wasn't telling it to the rest of the crowds.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that, Pastor Andrew. Now, if we can then go into this specific then parable around the vineyard owner, because I know there's some context there in specifically why he used this parable, but also just making us understand, just walking us through the various elements then of that parable of the vineyard owner, please.
All right, so interesting is that Jesus uses a picture of a vineyard owner and a vineyard being present, and then he talks about laborers that are called to come and labor in the vineyard.
Yeah.
Now, the people of the day understood perfectly what he was speaking about because there were many vineyards at that stage surrounding the territory according to Bible history. Mm. At the same time, they understood that there were laborers that were needed to work in the vineyard because once you had the season that grapes had to be harvested, they had to be harvested very quickly because when the rains come, they destroy the entire crop.
So the
owner of the vineyard is a very generous man, extremely generous. We know it's a picture of God the Father, a very, very generous, you know, Father who openly gave, he gives. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. The first group of laborers that are brought in very early in the morning that are called, the parable uses the word called. It does not say employed, but it says called. So he offers them a denarius. Now, a denarius was a very dignified wage, or shall I say reward, because that's how it is symbolized in the parable. It's a dignified reward that is offered. It used to be what is said to be a soldier's pay for a day's work. And this was quite a lot of money, or it was very honorable. It was much, much higher than what just a normal temporary worker or a domestic worker would be offered in that day.
Yeah.
So this was something people competed for. And the owner of the vineyard offers a denarius as a reward to the first group. The second group, he doesn't mention how much or anything. He just says, "I'll give you what is right for what I would like you to do." And that keeps going for every other group that comes. So the second group that is called very significantly is the third hour, which is, you know, 9 in the morning.
Yes, yes.
The next group was the 12th hour, which is obviously midday. Mm-hmm. The next was the 9th hour, which is 3 o'clock the afternoon.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then there's 11th hour group. Now, there's significance in each of these groups that are called. But then they work in the vineyard, and when they complete the day's work or labor as such, then the reward comes forth.
And thank you for that, Pastor Andrew. Then we get to the issue then at the end, where it's time then for the vineyard owner to give the workers their wages or their reward, because now they're all getting the same. And obviously the ones that were called first are protesting to say that, but you, we came here first. Surely we should be getting more than these people.
All right. So let's just take a little step back there. Yeah. We've now highlighted how that the land owner or the owner of the vineyard is a picture of God the Father. Yeah. The vineyard is a picture of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Now, what's significant here is that the book of Matthew is the only book in the gospel, only the one of the gospels that mentions the word, the kingdom of heaven. And it makes that reference 48 times.
Wow.
There's none of the gospels who make any reference to the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it mentions the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about the domain of the king. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. It talks about how that we are now invited as laborers into the kingdom of God to labor with the king, to labor for the king.
Yes.
On the basis of that, the Bible also says, when the question is asked, where is the kingdom of God? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yeah.
So we understand it's the domain of God the Father. It's where He rules and reigns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of our lives.
Amen. And then when we have then that picture, Pastor Andrew, just in I guess conversations then would be around, when looking at that, then it means then God the Father invites people into the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven at various points in time. But irrespective of the time in which he calls them, the reward is the same, because I guess contextually the labor is the same. Am I correct in thinking of it in that way, or framing it in that way?
Yes. We read the text, and the text, is written, with the view that the laborers have come to labor. But the reward remains the same, whether you've been brought in early, called early, you were called in at the 9th hour, the 12th hour, the 11th hour.
Yeah.
But the reward remains the same. And this is a picture, firstly, as most Bible scholars and commentaries mention, is that in the kingdom of God, when we come into the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter at what stage you've come and accepted the salvation, the free gift that God has given to us, through the blood of Jesus, we all receive the same reward.
Mm.
It's going to be the free gift of grace, eternal life through the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says we've not worked for it. It's given free of charge. It's given as a gift that God has given us through the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I think I'm just trying to then think of it us then as laborers then invited into the kingdom of heaven, and just thinking about how we can really adjust our minds and our spirits around what is our due reward. And I'm thinking of this also in relation to Luke 17, where it talks about the servants, where the master coming in, the parable of the servants. And then when the servant comes in all from his labor, prepares a meal for the master, and serving the master while they eat. And the master not necessarily thanking the servant for what he's done, but the servant having an attitude of, we are an unworthy servant who have simply done what you have said for us to do. So I'm just thinking about that parable as well, and almost looking at this in that as laborers in the kingdom of heaven, or those then maybe who have been invited into the kingdom of heaven, what should be our posture as laborers?
I think that we have to look in context here is that the issue that happens just before chapter 20 kicks in and Jesus brings out the parable of the vineyard. There is the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he says, what shall I do, so that I can be part of the kingdom? And the Bible speaks about how that Jesus says to him, go and sell all you have. And he walks away very sad.
Yeah.
And then Jesus makes a statement. He says, the first shall be last.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, your riches is not going to give you status as far as the ranking, you know, formula in the kingdom of God exists. Jesus brings the same context into the vineyard, And what he's trying to say to everybody is that, you know, you do not work for your salvation.
Yeah.
And although in the earth you are rewarded for what you have and, you know, how much, and there's a status between rich and poor and how much and who has and who hasn't, how much education we have, how much finances we have. But Jesus brings out here that all these that are called laborers at different hours, different times, they receive the same reward, right? And he goes a little further because in the very a few verses past the parable of the vineyard, the question is asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom?
Yes, then
Jesus says, the one that is greatest is the one who is servant of all, the one that is prepared to serve everybody. So what he's doing, he's turning the worldly model of reward upside down.
Amen.
That in God's kingdom, we are all servants. We serve each other, we serve the house of God, we serve the kingdom of God, we get rewarded for our serving.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also a question asked, very interesting question, you know, in verse 17, where the mother of the sons of Zebedee comes to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because she suddenly catches the revelation while Jesus is having this conversation with the disciples and the crowds. She realizes, oh, so there's the kingdom. And Jesus is the king.
Yeah.
Because there's two blind men that call on him just in this context and say, son of David.
Yeah.
And Jesus waits for them to actually pronounce the word a few times before he asks them, what would you like me to do? So what they were doing is they were saying, we recognize that you are a descendant of David, the king. So David's throne is always going to have a king. And
you are the king in the kingdom.
So as the king, would you stoop down as an act of grace, as a servant, you know, would you stoop down and take away our blindness and heal our blindness?
Wow.
And as Jesus does that, the mother of the sons of Zebedee recognizes, oh, so there's a kingdom here and there's a king. Then she asks Jesus, can I please ask you a question? She says, can I ask you that my sons can sit on the throne in the kingdom with you, one on the left and one on the right.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, you do not know what you ask. So Jesus is bringing out the true model of the kingdom of heaven is all about servanthood.
Yeah.
It's about the first shall be last. If you think that you're going to have a high ranking and a high status because of your earthly, you know, life and what you have, you're wrong. There's going to be a lot of surprises because the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The ones who serve in God's kingdom are the greatest.
Amen for that, Pastor Andrew. And I think maybe then as a last parting shot from you then in all that we have, that we've looked at, and there's much to discuss. And I know there's much that we left in the cutting floor here, but in what you've presented, Pastor Andrew, what would you like us as listeners and viewers to walk away with from this?
Let's just remember that, you know, there's a literal meaning to the story.
Yeah.
There's also the prophetic interpretation, which most Bible scholars see as that the first call, which was early in the morning, was actually a call of salvation to the Jews in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. And because they did not obey God, they couldn't keep his commandments, then at the ninth hour, at the third hour, the owner went and called again, and he brought laborers into the vineyard. It's interesting, Jesus was crucified in the third hour. So yeah, grace opened up.
Yeah.
And then when Paul, was Saul before, you know, had actually been knocked off his horse, and he became a Christian, became the apostle to the Gentiles, there was a door opened for a call for laborers again.
There's
phases in which God has called people into his kingdom to prophetically symbolize how that workers and invitations have come into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So can I just say quickly is that, you know, in this parable, there's such nice references made, the first shall be last and the last first and the first and the last. There's almost eight times that it comes out, you know, and Jesus is bringing coming to us at the end of the story in verse number 27. He says to, after the mother of the sons of Zebedee has said, you know, let my son sit on the throne on the left and the right, Jesus said, can you bear the cup I'm going to drink? And suddenly he brings out the fact that this is going to be a very dear sacrifice the vineyard. And he's going to lay himself down. The Bible says that he says the Son of Man has come to be a ransom for many. So his blood is going to pay the ransom. So what Jesus is saying that, you know, we've got to understand there's going to be a very dear price paid for this kingdom, for this vineyard. And the invitation is there for us all to come in. It doesn't matter you come in early or you come in late, you're going to get a reward. But Jesus is going to lay down his life as a ransom. That's why lastly the book of Peter chapter 1 verse 18, it says in 1 Peter, it says that his blood was the ransom that paid for the sin of many. So we are redeemed into God's kingdom because the one that is servant of all has laid down his life for us.
Amen. Pastor Andrew, thank you so much for that. And that was really, really much to chew on. And I do encourage everyone in day 31 to really just go back to this, listen to this, meditate on it, go back to the scriptures as well, and even the ones that were called on and referenced here. And as you listen, I just pray that in Jesus being revealed in this podcast, I pray then that he is then revealed in your life. God bless you as you listen.